Now that I know that life in Christ is gooey mac and cheese, I know how we can sell this to people outside the church, so. Thank you, Laura. I'm not sure I can get that image out of my mind at this point in time. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we are continuing our sermon series, which our senior pastor has named Famous and Forgotten. And our scripture comes from the book of Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel is a prophet whose name may be familiar, but whose story is not really very well known. You may have heard the old spiritual, dem bones, the ankle bones connected to the shin bone. No? No one has heard that? Well, then we're going to start with Ezekiel from the very beginning and see if we can learn about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a young man who was born into a Jewish family. He trained for the priesthood, but he lived, the time of his life was one of the most painful times in the history of Israel. It was the years leading up to and including the exile in Babylon. Ezekiel was born around 640 BC. He grew up during the reign of King Josiah. Josiah was a faithful king who renewed the covenants with Moses and Abraham and called people back to faithful worship of God. But after his death, the nation weakened both spiritually and politically. And so right around 598 BC, the Babylonian army surrounded Jerusalem. And when they surrendered, Nebuchadnezzar plundered the city and the temple and then carried away many of the royal family members, the leaders, the priests, the artisans, and the skilled workers, including Ezekiel, to Babylon. Basically, he took the talent away from Israel. So he left Israel there, but he took the greatness to Babylon. And it was a method of control, a pretty standard method of control at that time. Ezekiel, in exile, prophesied from around 590 to 570 BC. And by the time we reach chapter 37 of his book, which is where our scripture comes from today, Israel has been defeated as a nation. Jerusalem has been invaded. The temple has been destroyed. Many of the people have been taken from their homes and are living in a foreign land. Into that time of grief and devastation, God gives Ezekiel a vision. So let us hear the word of God, beginning in chapter 37 of the book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, this particular scripture is a vision. In this vision, God brings Ezekiel to a valley, likely the site of a battlefield. But the battle is long over, and the bodies of those who fought and died have already decayed. The vultures have taken their share. And what remains are bones, very dry bones. There is no sign of life because it is a scene of death, of hopelessness, and despair. And all that remains of Israel is a valley of dry, lifeless bones. This vision represents the destruction of Israel by the Babylonians. The Hebrew people had believed that the land promised by God would always be there. They would always have the rights to that land. But with the invasion and the exile, that dream of land died. For the Israelites, this was more than military defeat. It was more than loss of a homeland. The destruction of Jerusalem included the destruction of the temple. And the temple was the center of their lives. It was the center of their worship. And it was a place where God dwelt. At the heart of the temple was the holiest of holies. It was the most sacred place where God lived. And because it was so sacred, only one person was allowed into that room, and that was the high priest. And he could only go there one day a year. He entered it on the Day of Atonement. And he did that so that he could intercede for the people of Israel. This is why the temple mattered so much. It was not where they went to church. It was not where they had Wednesday night suppers. It was where people knew they could go and find God. So the loss of the temple was not only the death of a national dream, it was the loss of God's presence. It has been said that the definition of hell is separation from God. And that is what the exiled Israelites were experiencing. The temple mattered so deeply because they knew where to go to seek God. And Psalm 42 is a song of exile. Listen to the pain that this writer has verbalized. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multiple keeping festival. To be close to God, they went to the temple. With the destruction of the temple, they felt cut off from the presence of God. Now, as Reformed Presbyterians, we may not truly understand the depth of this weight, because we believe that God is with us. God is with us here. God is with us in our lives. God is with us in our homes. God is with us in the hospitals. But for these people in exile, the destruction of the temple felt like God was no longer with them. Psalm 137 is another psalm of exile. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the willows, we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy, and they said, "Sing to us one of the songs from Zion." But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? That was the loss. How could they sing the songs of God while in a foreign land? And without the visible sign of God's presence, they were like dry bones, lifeless, scattered, and completely without hope. Then God asks Ezekiel this question that's at the center of this passage: can these bones live? In other words, can the people of Israel be brought back from this death? And Ezekiel very wisely does not pretend to know. He answers, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And that is the truth of life and death. Only God knows whether life can come to the dry bones. But God's reply to Ezekiel was one of hope. "I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live." For Israel, God's promise meant that exile would not have the final word. God would bring the people home. God would restore what had been destroyed. God would breathe life back into what seemed dead. And in time, all of this happened. So this is a story that takes place over about 100 years in the Old Testament, in the ancient Middle East. Why, if this promise was meant simply that they could count on going back to their homeland, why is it important to us today? Why does this scripture still matter? Most of us have not experienced exile in the same way that Israel did. We've not watched our city being invaded. We've not watched our buildings and our churches destroyed. Yet all of us, every one of us, knows what it is to suffer loss. We know that dreams die. We know that relationships fracture. Hopes fade. And there are seasons in our lives when faith itself feels dry and lifeless. As New Testament believers, we can hear Ezekiel's vision with fresh ears, because these words speak as clearly to us today as they did to the people who heard them so long ago, because they remind us that even when life feels barren, God is able to restore what seems to be beyond hope. In Jesus Christ, God came to us. God chose not to remain distant, hidden away in the holiest of holy places, and separated from ordinary people. Rather, he took on human form, and he came to live with us. He reached out to those on the margins. He celebrated, he suffered, he grieved, he taught and prayed, and shared meals with others. In Christ, God not only came to live with us, he became one of us. And at the time Jesus died on the cross, the gospel tells us that the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now, the curtain surrounded this holiest of holy places. It protected it. It kept people from entering into it. But when Jesus died, the curtain was torn. God then became open to every one of us, because through Christ, our sin has been forgiven. God is open to us not through our priests or our intermediaries, and not only once a year, but God is open to us, to all who come through Christ. Because Jesus is our advocate, he is our mediator, and through him, we have been given direct access to God. Now, that means that when hard times come, when we feel exiled in some form, when life overwhelms us, when grief leaves us feeling empty, when there seems to be no hope, God is with us. And when God breathes life into us, we are no longer dry bones lying lifeless on the ground. Just as in creation, when God breathed into Adam, and later on when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, the Spirit of God has come to us and will come to us, and it dwells in us. God's promise, I will put my Spirit in you, and you will live. So when we leave this sanctuary today, we do not leave God behind. Each of us has fought our battles. These battles may look different for every person. They may be struggles with education. They may be addiction, abuse, broken relationships, failed dreams, physical illness, aging, the loss of independence. These are the battles of everyday life, and every battle carries a cost. In fact, some battles can leave us feeling drained of life, like dry bones scattered on the ground. So the question God asks is an important one. Can these bones live? Ezekiel answers faithfully, only God knows, and that is still true for us. In faith, we have to answer, only God knows. When we try to restore ourselves by our own strength, we eventually discover that only God can breathe true life back into us. The dry bones can be brought together. Bodies could be formed with tendons and flesh and skin, but these bodies were not alive until the breath of God entered them. We cannot breathe life into dry bones, but God can. Through his life, through his gift of Jesus Christ, we are offered redemption and new life. Jesus is our mediator and our advocate, so no one needs to stand between us and God. He came to live among us as a human being, and when his earthly life was complete, he promised the Holy Spirit to be with us always, wherever we go, whatever we face, and whatever is happening in our lives. So as we come to share a meal at God's table today, let's remember his promise that even in the hardest seasons of life, God can bring dry bones back to life. We cannot leave God behind, and we are never without his presence. In Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, God comes to heal what is fractured, restore what is lifeless, and he breathes new life into us. And for that, we say, thanks be to God.